Good morning, Central. Those of you that are here and those of you who are watching us online, a good morning to you as well. Let's remember that we are in the presence of our Almighty God. I'm going to be reading from Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, King James Version. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. What a privilege we have this morning. Thank you very much for being here. Now, Brother Mahaley.
Good morning, everyone. If convenient, please stand and join me in singing our first hymn, hymn number 23.
There is beyond the azure blue,
seated. Excuse me. Our next hymn will be hymn number 57.
Thank you.
Before we go to the Lord in prayer, we'll be singing hymn number 684.
Let's join in prayer. Father, we assemble to praise you, to exalt you, to acknowledge that you are a great God, powerful, almighty, all-knowing, yet tender and caring for us, your creatures. And we give you praise for all these things, Lord. We know that while you are great and mighty and holy, we are weak creatures. And we fall into sin all too often and commit many trespasses against you, Lord. For these things, we ask for forgiveness. We pray that you will remove these sins from us, hide them away, never more to be remembered. And we're thankful, Lord, that we can have our sins taken away through the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, who made that sacrifice for us that cleanses us of our sins. Father, you bless us so richly each and every day in so many ways. And many times we don't acknowledge these blessings, but they keep coming. You are faithful in every regard to keep your blessings coming to us. And we thank you for that. And we want to acknowledge how richly you have blessed us, and most of all, by sending your Son to us. Father, we have many that we have been praying for who are undergoing health issues, financial issues, family issues, or other problems. We ask that you give healing to each one of those who are afflicted by these things. We ask that you be with Gail Sides, with Carlene Bannister, Gay Clark, Karen Curtis, Jim Cooper, Ruth Ernest, Bill Higginbotham, Paul Laycock, and with others who are suffering, Lord. Be with them. We ask that you bring them to a better state of health. We ask that you be with the family of Don Necessary, who's recently passed from us. We ask that you comfort them in their time of grief, and be with other families who have recently lost loved ones. Father, be with us each and every one, each and every day, as we walk this path, our journey through life. We know that there will be many snares, many temptations that are thrown in front of us. Help us to ever remain faithful, to always look to you. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Before we have the scripture reading in today's lesson, we'll be singing hymn number 794. 794. Unto me, O Lord.
Let me not be ashamed.
Families with younger children, there's a children's training class that will be located out these doors, and some folks will let you know how to get there, but you may be dismissed at this time if you're going to that. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Matthew chapter 26, verses 38 and 39. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will."
Can you hear me now? Are we good? Can you hear me? All right. Well, good morning, everybody. Yeah, good morning. It's nice to see all of you. I assume you knew who was speaking this morning, and you showed up anyway, so I appreciate that. You know I like to start out with some questions and some announcements and things like that. I want to go ahead and give you a couple of updates. I went ahead and purposely reached out to Tim Hall again to see how they were doing, because I know that we're all anxiously awaiting him coming back, and Joyce, and don't want to forget Joyce for sure. Tim Hall said his recovery, as long as it keeps going, you know, staying on track, he'll be back this coming week. And, you know, I'm pretty happy about that. You know, I know we all miss him. And as far as Joyce, you know, Joyce was dealing with cellulitis, and he said that, you know, she's not well yet, but it's coming along. I think it's maybe rather pretty slow, but she's coming along. So as long as they keep, you know, progressing as they are, they'll be back this next week. Tim Hall will be back up here. He might be up here with a cane, but he'll be up here. And so we're all looking forward to that. Let's see. I was going to pray this morning. I had a lot of people on my mind this morning. I think John covered every single one of them on there except for one. I want you to keep this in your prayers, as we all do. I see Marshall Danby sitting back there. I see Charles. And, you know, we have a ministry that goes on in the prison. One of them happens to be Unicoi County Annex over in Irwin. Okay, this is very important to a whole lot of us here. The ladies go out there every single Tuesday, and they get to where they develop these real personal, genuine relationships with these ladies. Well, from the news I've gotten so far, it looks like that place, they're getting ready to ship out or transfer all the ladies out of there. It looks like they're going to be moving them along, and so that's going to break up some of these relationships, make it long distance. And what we want to do is pray for these ladies when they leave, because they're not going to have the spiritual leadership that they get every Tuesday from the ladies and every Sunday from John and Charles and sometimes Tim Hall. They go out there, and so it's very important that we pray for them and pray for their strength away from what they're used to being around. You know, anytime that Satan can do it, he tries to divide. He tries to separate us. And that's, you know, this may be a ploy to do that. I don't know. But if we pray and we pray earnestly, we know that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We believe that. When we pray, we believe that God is right in front of us, and we are pleading with him face to face, asking him for what we desire. And for him to answer those prayers in the way he chooses to answer them and in his timing. Now, there could be future ministry, possibilities that come along. I think they're going to move the men there. Maybe we'll move into teaching to the men there. I don't know. We'll see. But pray for that ministry. Josh, I don't see Josh sitting out here this morning, but Josh sent out an announcement this past week about that. Oh, there he is. There he is. How dare you be out of your seat? Threw me off. Josh sent out an announcement this past week about a judge that got shot and killed over in Letcher County, Kentucky. I'm sure most of us have heard of that. Letcher County is not that far away from here, and this judge just so happened to be a member of the Hemp Hill Church of Christ. So he was a member of the church. Good for him. If he died living faithful, good for him. Good for him. There's some more news that came out about that. You know, I think maybe the sheriff of that county is the one being charged with shooting him. So, you know, they're losing a couple of very important people in that county, but we definitely want to pray for all those involved in that and who's suffering from it. And again, I thought John was going to leave the necessaries out, but he didn't. So I was hoping to be able to pray for them this morning. But just remember the situation in Letcher County and the ministry going on over in Unicoi County, and I'm sure everybody involved will appreciate that. So just like last week, I like to start out with questions. Some of these questions they're not too hard to answer. I know the answers to them already, which is a benefit of being able to ask these things. And so last week, we started off with the questions because I really want to know who's sitting out here. Who am I actually talking to this morning? And, that's very important. If you don't know your audience, you liable preach the wrong thing. So it's very important. So last week I started with the question, are there any Christians in here? There are, aren't they? Oh, there are. You're proud of it, aren't we? Yeah, why not? James tells us to be proud of our high positions, doesn't he? Yeah, why not? Let's be proud of that. Are there any Christians? Here's the second question I ask. Are there any non-Christians in this room? And I know the answer. I know there are. It's okay. I got it. Maybe you just haven't reached that point yet to becoming a Christian. I get that too. But the third question was, is there anybody in here that doesn't fit into either one of those categories? Anybody? Anybody? Okay, so we're speaking to Christians and non-Christians again this week. That's good. That's good. Okay, now I'm going to ask you another question. I guarantee you if I went around and interviewed every single person in this room, I know the answer. I already know the answer. Do you want to go to heaven? Oh, you do? I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to say that. If I went around and asked every single person in this room, do you want to go to heaven? Every single person, I got a feeling because you're sitting right there, I got a feeling you're going to say, absolutely, Mike, I want to go to heaven. Well, let's go. Let's go. The good thing is we get to choose whether we go to heaven or whether we don't. How about that? God gave us that choice. If we choose to be faithful to God, guess what? We're promised a home in heaven. If we choose not to be faithful to God, well, guess what? We're not. So here's another question. This one's a little tough. This question right here can be a little tough. It can actually be a little raw. We were talking this morning in the book of 2 Corinthians about how the word of God is a pleasant aroma to some, but man, it's a very foul aroma to others. It's a very, sweet smell to us as Christians who are living faithful to God's word. Man, it is sweet. What a smell. It smells great. But to those who are not, it smells terrible because sometimes the truth doesn't feel very good. Well, here's a question, and you don't have to answer. None of these are stand up and yell out an answer question. This is something for us to ponder because we have to take a self-inventory every single day that we wake up. Every single day, are we living God-conscious lives? Now, here you go. Last week, we talked about those who have heard the truth. I imagine most, if not everybody in this room, have heard the truth. Now, here's a question. Are we being preached into heaven or into hell? He said that hell word again. Oh boy, he said that hell word. Are we being preached into heaven or are we being preached into hell? Because let me tell you, if you've received the truth and you continue to reject the truth, there's only one destination. We talked about that last week in Hebrews chapter 10. But if you know the truth, if you've heard the truth and you accept the truth and you act on your faith to the truth, then all that hell stuff, we have nothing to worry about. And that's why I ask you, do you want to go to heaven? Have you ever wanted something so bad that you would do anything it took to get there, to get it? Have you ever wanted something so badly? Man, we want that position. We want that job. We want this. We want that. And we'd work and work and work and work and work to get it. And we just continue to move forward and move forward and move forward. Well, what about heaven? Do we do that on a daily basis? So that's just things that we can ponder, we can think about. Here's another question for you. I told this person I would not say who where this came from. I promised them I would not use their name. It's exactly what I said because I really want to understand who we're talking to here. Are you breathing? Are you? I sure hope so. If there's not, hey, we got some pretty fine doctors in this room. I know where they are. I can point them out. But if you're not breathing, we got a problem. But Let me tell you, the ladies in this congregation, they got a lot they want to say. So there's been a whole lot of things thrown at me over the last couple of weeks of, yeah, you know, I've got some sermons for you. I want you to know this. I want you to preach this. Can you preach that? Can you preach this? Can you preach that? Absolutely. Just tell me what you want to hear. Well, here's what this book said. And I tell you, Greg Schmidt's wife is the one who gave me the book. I told you I wouldn't mention her by name. Greg Schmidt's wife, April Looney's mother. But she gave me this book, and it says, "Are you breathing?" And then it says, "Then you need Jesus." You get that? So is everybody breathing in here? Wait. Let me ask an easier question. Is there anybody not breathing in here? That's a little easier to pay attention to. Okay, so everybody's breathing, then we all need Jesus. Okay. Here's another question for you. And we'll get to the lesson, I promise. But these are all things we should ponder every single day we wake up. Every single day when we wake up, here's another question for you. If Jesus were here right now, if he came up to you, make this personal, literally make this personal, okay? If Jesus came up to you right now and said, "Follow me. Follow me, and I'll make you a fisher of men." What would you say? What would you say? And you know what? It's okay. It's okay. If he asked us that question, or if he said, "Follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men," what are we going to say? Are we going to count the cost and say, "Nah, you know, it looks a little difficult. I don't think so. I don't think so. I think I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. And I think I'm a good person. Hopefully that's good enough to get me to heaven," that kind of thing. Or are we going to react as Isaiah did over in Isaiah chapter 6? Remember what he said? "Here am I, send me." And if we give Jesus that answer, how are we going to follow? Are we going to follow in, you know, scared, you know, with fear and everything in our lives? Like, "Man, I hope nobody hears me today. I hope none of these people know that I'm a Christian. I'm not like the rest of you. I don't fit in here." Is that how we're going to follow? I mean, we really have a choice. We get to decide. I mean, sometimes the road can be difficult. We know Jesus didn't say, "You know what, the road will be nice and smooth if you follow me." That's not what he said. Sometimes it is smooth, sometimes it's not. And that's why we talk about perseverance and developing perseverance. Perseverance, that's what helps us go. We'll talk about that a little later. But that's what helps us get through the tough times, to keep going despite how hard things are. You see that? But that doesn't just come all of a sudden. "I'm baptized, I'm strong, I am strong now, God, hey, bless me with strength, I'm strong." That's not how it works. We have to work on that. This morning, the sermon is called, I think, if it comes up, it may come up. It's called, "All to Jesus I Surrender." All to Jesus I surrender. Anybody ever sung that song before? Everybody in here sung that song, right? Everybody knows that song, "All to Jesus I Surrender." Here's another question for you. Remember, I love these questions. We already talked about praying to God. "Hey, God, I know you're right in front of me. I'm giving you all my requests as if I can see you right now." Because let me tell you right now, if Jesus was in this room right now, that shouldn't increase our faith one bit. You get that? Our faith should be that strong right now. And if it's not, we should be working on getting that faith built up so that, if you know, whether Jesus is here in person or not, our faith is strong. Remember what Jesus said. He said, "Blessed." He said, you believe because you have seen, but blessed are those who believe who yet have not seen. Remember? That's us. We have not physically seen Jesus, but we're our faith is strong as if we can see him. So here you go. Here you go. Here's a question right here. When we sing this song, "All to Jesus I Surrender," how many of us sung this morning, these songs led this morning, how many sung those songs as if God was in this room with us face to face? How many sung it that way? Ooh, boy, there's a question right there. Oh, man. Ooh, that's tough right there. Whoa, Mike, my singing voice is not very good. My singing voice is not very good. Well, that's not what Scripture said. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what Scripture said. People's like, "Wow, that sounded so pretty, Mike." No. I'm here to make a joyful noise. Andreas Bocelli. Anybody know that guy? He's the blind guy, kind of an opera singer. Let me the high tenor or whatever he is. That's beautiful. Matthew's voice, beautiful. Mike, joyful noise. Joyful noise. My joyful noise might sound a little better than some joyful noises, but guess what? Guess what? They all count the same. Your joyful noise, whether it's, maybe it doesn't quite reach the level of noise, but it's close. Anyway, if whatever it is, we're singing to God directly, and it counts the same. It counts the same whether it's angelic or whether it's just a noise. So how many people in this room sung as if God was right in front of you this morning? That's a personal question. Nobody needs to answer. Nobody needs to answer, but I want you to think about it, because guess what? We're probably going to be here again someday, hopefully this evening, probably going to be singing again this evening, and then whenever the person gets up here to lead singing, are we going to sing as if we're singing directly to God? Because we say, yeah, we're here to sing praises to God. We're here to worship God, are we? Are we? Here's another question, and then I'll move on with the lesson, I promise you. In each of our minds right now, I mean, you're the only one who can answer this. Are we in this room right now, or are we at somewhere else? That's a personal question. That's a personal question right there, isn't it? I mean, did we come here to worship God, or we come here to sit in a pew and think about, man, the football game coming on in a little bit, what we're going to have for lunch and all that, or do we come to actually really worship God? You know, we can do that. I've been a pew filler before in my life. Trust me. I have gone. Let's go ahead. Let's sing the songs. Let's sing the songs. Okay, preacher, hurry up. Hurry up so we can sing a little bit more, and then we can get out of here. You see, that's a pew filler. That's not who we want to be. God says, come here to worship. Worship Him in spirit and in truth, right? That's not a suggestion. All to Jesus I surrender. Are we giving our all to Jesus, or are we not? I guarantee you, God knows whether we are or not. You know, I always talk about, and I say this on Sundays, stand up here in a suit, got my Alabama tie on today, Andrew. You know, I thought about you as I was putting it on. He kind of held it against me last week. I repented and wore the Alabama tie today. But the thing is, if I can get up here in a suit, I can say the right words, we can sing some songs, we can do all the right things, but God knows whether I'm giving my all to Him or not, and He knows whether I'm giving it to Him genuinely. He knows whether or not I'm here to put on a show. He knows whether or not I want all these people, them, to think highly of me. He knows whether my right now. You understand that? You remember, Cain hadn't even killed his brother yet. He hadn't even killed Abel yet. And God said, sin is crouching at your door, Cain. Sin is crouching at your door. Well, sin's crouching at every one of our doors every single day. Every single day we wake up, we believe God is real, so we believe Satan is real too. Sin's crouching at our door, and we have plenty of warning right here, and now we got to figure out what we're going to do with it. Are we going to fall right into it? I mean, that's easy to do. That's the easy way. Are we going to fall right into it, or are we going to figure out a way to attack it or work around it, one or the other? A few weeks ago, Tim talked about running. If we think we can't attack it and conquer it, run from it. So, this past week, I don't think this thing's working. Matter of fact, I'm certain it's not working. This past week I had a phone call from, and it said, Brandon Quisenberry on my phone. Brandon Quisenberry gave me a phone call, and I answered it, and there was the sweetest little voice on the other side. It wasn't Brandon's voice, even though he said hello. It wasn't Brandon. There was the sweetest little voice on the other side named Ellie. Ellie decided to give me a phone call. You know what? He was right. You're not wrong. That just made my day. It made my whole week. It made my day. She said, I really liked hearing you talk. She said, my favorite part was when you said, people have trouble hearing you. Well, at least she got something out of it, right? I mean, she got something. That's good. That's good, but it just made my day. But what I was focused on really after that, I thought about how cute it was. You know, it was so cute that she wanted to say that to me. And then I thought about this right here, Matthew chapter 18, 1 through 5. And I'm just going to read that, and you can follow along. I got the scripture there, or you can turn to it. You know, a preacher that preaches up here very frequently, you might know him. His name is Tim. Been preaching probably for over 50 years, says, get out your Bibles. You know, read along to make sure that I'm telling you the truth. He says that even after all that, as much respect as we have for him. You know, so if you want to get out your Bibles, I highly recommend it. Get it out. But here we go. Matthew chapter 18, 1 through 5. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Okay. He called a little child to him and placed the child among them and said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. Well, that's what Lily got me thinking about. I went straight to Matthew 18. Many of us would when we start thinking about the innocence of a child, saying some of the most encouraging words you may have heard all week. And I've been getting encouragement from this congregation for the last 3 or 4 weeks that is just unbelievable. It's been wonderful. Some of them I don't even know. I don't even know who they are. But they come in and it just makes my day. But here's the thing. Lily wanted to take a little bit of time and encourage Mike. Now, this isn't talking about being innocent. This isn't talking about being innocent, this scripture right here. Yeah, kids are innocent. We get that. Children are innocent. We get that. It's talking about our complete dependence on Jesus Christ. Do we depend on Jesus to lead our lives, or do we depend on ourselves? When a question comes up, do we turn to Christ? Do we turn to prayer? Do we ask? Or do we try to handle it ourselves? Or do we, next thing you know, I can go also to John chapter 14 where it talks about Jesus is the way. Would Jesus handle the situation the way I chose to handle it? You know, I want to get the last word. I want to one-up this other person. You know what? That person can't get away with that. I got to get them back. Tim just spoke a couple of weeks ago anyway. He was over in the book of 1 Peter, and he's talking about trading an insult for a blessing. I mean, every one of them, I guess I could ask another question if you would like. Does everybody in here want to be blessed? Would everybody in here like to be blessed? Well, you know what? Peter told us that if we trade their insult for a blessing, we will be blessed. How amazing is that? There's a novel idea. We should consider doing it the way Christ did it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And guess what? I ask everybody if you want to go to heaven. Well, there's only one way to get to heaven, and that's through Christ. He just said it. I am the way. I am the way, and no one gets to the Father except through me. There's our choice right there. If we want to go to heaven, then we start living our lives with a God conscious, being God conscious at all time. God is looking at me right now. Do you believe that? Do you believe God knows each and every one of our actions, our thoughts, everything that we say? He knows. He knows. But sometimes, and I'm guilty as anybody else. Trust me, I'm guilty. God's not right in front of me all the time. I can't physically see him, so I think, I'm going to do whatever I got. I can do whatever I want. You know why? Because I got time to fix it. I got time to fix it. But we talked about that last week, so we won't this week. Over in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, if you want to turn there. Hebrews chapter 12, the chapter right after what we call the Hall of Faith. It's got all these people who went through all the trials, went through all the suffering and everything. We got these examples. I call them biblical veterans is what I call them. You know how we celebrate Veterans Day, of the veterans who went and gave their life and their time and everything overseas so we can have freedoms here, right? Well, guess what? There's a lot of biblical veterans out there who suffered and suffered and suffered so that we have this Word of God that we have right now. You see that? So you see, we see them as examples. Like, wow, they went through it. So can I. I can do that. I can do that. They were worried about their lives being taken. I'm worried about not fitting in. There's a slight little imbalance there. You know, if somebody's about to take Mike's life, we talked about it this morning. You know, Paul wanted the Corinthians to understand all the difficulties and trials and everything he went through on his missionary journeys. Remember, he's preaching the Word of God, and people's like, hey, you know what? You're preaching the Word of God. We're going to throw a whole bunch of rocks at you. We're going to throw a whole bunch of rocks at you until you're dead. Until you're dead. And I'm sitting there, I'm trying to put myself in Paul's shoes and say, wow, I wonder if I could stand there and take that. I wonder, could I stand there and take those rocks being thrown at me as Paul did? Well, Paul did. Paul could have said, okay, I take it all back. I take it all back. Everything I said to you, I take it back. I will leave town. I will get out of here. You got me. I'm gone. But he didn't, did he? He showed us the way to do it. Why? Because he takes the Word of God seriously. He takes what God tells him to do seriously. Now, we got a choice to make. Will we do that also? In Hebrews chapter 12, you know, we see all these biblical veterans, which we call the Hall of Faith. We're going to start in verse 1. Verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, right here, here's the key. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You see what he said right there in verse 1. Let us throw off everything that hinders our view of Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way. Wow, I just got the 5-minute warning. I was afraid I just now got to point one. Oh, well, we'll get it through. We'll get through. Jesus is the way. Well, Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews says, throw off everything that takes the view of him from you. Throw off everything that hinders your view of Jesus Christ. All the sin that blocks your view of Jesus Christ. Have you ever tried following anybody around with something in your face? I mean, if somebody was in front of me and they say, follow me, and I'm doing this right here, how well do you think I can follow this person? How well do you think I can follow Jesus if I continue to let sin be in my life and continue to follow it instead? I love to say that I follow Jesus. I love to say it. We asked a question last week, do you love Jesus? Everybody loves Jesus. Everybody loves Jesus. But are we keeping his commandments? All of his commandments? Are we giving our all to Jesus Christ? I'm going to have to fast forward this. I really didn't want to, but I'm going to have to, because I told one of the elders, let me know when I got the 5-minute warning. So when the elder says, you got 5 minutes, you better get down in 5 minutes. So we're going to go a little farther. This doesn't work. I'm going to read a song to you. It's called Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Now, we're just talking about getting everything out of the way that hinders our view of Jesus. Here's why. Here's why we want to turn our eyes to Jesus. Sometimes we lose focus. You see this thing on the wall behind me, right here, that cross right there. It stands for something. It stands for the sacrifice that he made. And we call ourselves participating in his sufferings. That's what we call ourselves as Christians. We are participating in his sufferings. We are making a sacrifice. We are giving up something to follow Christ. We're not just taking the extra. You know, is that a sacrifice at all? If we just kind of take what we got left, the leftovers or whatever we got extra. Hey, I got a little extra. Yes, I guess you can have it. That's not a sacrifice at all. No, we're giving away. We're losing something but gaining something. I can tell you, anybody in this room that goes out and does a good deed for somebody, you gain a lot more than the person you helped. You see that? You gave a lot, but you received more. That's the way it works. That's how this works. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Oh soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. And we've been there. We've been there. I've asked the question in here several times. Has anybody ever had tough times? Is anybody having tough times right now? Is anybody going to have tough times? The answer is yes to all three. We're going to face things. But see, we turn our eyes upon Jesus. Sometimes we can lose that hope, but we turn our eyes upon Jesus. Oh soul, are you wearied and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. His word shall not fail you. He promised, believe me and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. See, we got a story to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full at his wonderful face. Don't just give a glance. Look, stay there. Focus on the cross. Colossians tells us to set our minds and our hearts on things above. Keep our minds and hearts on things above, not things down here. Down here, things get all messed up. We keep our focus above all of that because it makes things, right here, it says it right here, and the things on earth will grow strangely dim. How about that? All of a sudden, all these problems and everything that seem so harsh and tough down here right now become a little bit easier. Because we talk about being delivered all the time, and we know one way or another we're going to be delivered. Whether we face death or we continue to live, we will be delivered. I asked that question in class this morning, does everybody in here want to go to heaven? Everybody wants to go to heaven. You know what? Let me ask the rest of you who wasn't sitting here, who may not have heard it. You know, we all want to go to heaven. That's our goal. We want to go to heaven, man. That's our goal. That's our ultimate prize. We said that we would do anything it takes to get to heaven. Would you like to go right now? The earth's going to keep going, but that means that our life is going to end right now. That's a tough question, isn't it? But let me tell you, it's not a bad thing. That's not necessarily a bad thing. We should live our lives every day as if it is going to end right now. You get that? You get that? We can preach and preach and preach and preach and preach all the time, but until we start taking the Word of God seriously, it's just a bunch of words. All it is a bunch of words. We talk about deliberately sinning last week, and we also talked about rejecting, just choosing not to obey the Word of God. Well, Jesus says, well, God says, and Peter said this on the day of Pentecost, he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Here's the deal. Here's the deal. We sort of decide we want to take that as a suggestion or something. Yeah, you say repent and be baptized. I ain't doing it. I'll do it whenever I want to. I'll do it whenever I feel like it, God. Well, he said this right here. We talked about hearing the truth, and we talked about everyone in here has heard the truth. Everybody in here. I bet you I can ask every one of you, and you've heard the truth. Every one of us. Do we deliberately keep on sinning and do whatever we want to, you know, despite what the Word of God says? Do we? Also, if we know what the Word of God says, do we reject it by showing? We show it with our inaction. You said, God, you said if you hear the word, you hear the truth, and you believe it. Well, right here's where God requires some obedience, which means that we can't just sit in our chairs and our seats. We can't just sit back and expect it to come to us. That's not how it works. Nate Tate said it last Sunday night. That's fun to say, Nate Tate. He said it last Sunday night, we have an active faith. We have an active faith. We don't just sit back, okay, let everybody else do everything, okay, I hope nothing bad happens. That's not how it works. We can read that in the book of James, can't we? We don't have time for that for sure. But we have an active faith. Well, right here is where God requires action. He requires obedience. That obedience is, we are choosing to give our lives over to Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the way, So we're going to take our name and we're going to completely erase it out, and we're going to put the rest of our life is going to be Jesus' way, right? That's what we're going to do. I mean, we all want to go to heaven, so we got to do it Jesus' way. Well, Jesus' way is once you decide, once you believe and you repent, you decide to do it Jesus' way. Well, now we're ready to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We tell everybody, we're not ashamed of that. We're not ashamed of the gospel. We want everybody to know who we are and what we stand for. We want them to know what Jesus did for us. And he'll do it for you too. We want everybody to know that he is Lord. He came to this earth, lived, died, and rose again for every single one of us. We can have the hope of eternal life when we pass away. Then, and this is where a whole lot of people get hung up. This is where a whole lot of people, because there's a lot of really good people. This is where people get hung up right here. Yeah, good people. Then he says, be baptized. There's people in this room that hadn't been baptized yet. There's people in this room that know better. I don't know who you are. I just know that in every single congregation, they're there. I know it. That's a personal thing. I don't expect to say, oh, wow, you're that guy. I'm not saying that. But people know what the truth is. They know Jesus said, well, God actually said it, but Peter spit it out. Repent and be baptized. He that believeth and is baptized. The like figure whereunto baptism does also now save us. Come on. Can it get any clearer? It can't get any clearer than that. You know, just like Peter did on the day of Pentecost. Remember, we talked about it last week. He was pleading with those people. He was pleading. Every time you spread the word to somebody in love, and we didn't get to talk about those sacrifices this morning, but that's okay. We'll get it someday, maybe. When we speak the word of God in love with the right motives, really having a genuine care for that person's soul, we have a lot better chance. We're pleading. Please. Right after he said he was pleading, he said, save yourself from this corrupt generation. Well, that includes all of us, because we know that sin put Jesus on the cross. And every single one of us in this room have sinned at some point. Save yourself from this corrupt generation. All that accepted his message were baptized. They were baptized. Pretty simple. Very clear. He didn't want it to be very complicated. It is very simple. The water's ready right here. It's lukewarm, believe it or not. It's not even cold. How about that? All right, Luke. Oh boy, I was going to talk about being lukewarm a little bit. Maybe lukewarm water does have a little bit of a use. I don't know. But that water's not even cold. But here's the deal. You know, there's others in here who are Christians, those that have fallen away, those that are in the valley right now dealing with a whole lot of things. A few weeks ago, when we started the book of 2 Corinthians, and that 5 minutes is way gone, but when we started the book of 2 Corinthians, I told the whole place, the class and everything, that for the last several months, I've dealt with a lot of discouragement. A lot of discouragement. A lot of it had to do with not being part of this right here, because I was over there. And it was just a little different, you know, and just was struggling with it a little bit. But being back over here, let me tell you, ever since that day, my goodness, I hadn't hardly had a day go by that I didn't get encouraged in some way. You see that? If you're struggling with something, guess what? You're not alone. You're the one that was strong enough to come up here and admit it. I need the prayers of the church. I can't do this alone. Well, I tell you, if you're ready to obey the gospel, or if you just need the prayers of the church, I'm pleading, we're all pleading, that you'll come while we stand and while we sing.
All right.
seated.
All right, I see Rita decided to show true strength this morning by coming up to the front because she's got something on her mind that she wanted us all to know about. And it may be something that we'll all face sometime in our lives too. You know, we go out there and we try to do the very best we can do. I'm pretty sure that all of us have been in Bible studies genuinely caring and caring and caring for people that we talk to, and things don't go just the way we wish they would. That's just the way it is. That happens. And then sometimes that can kind of frustrate us to a point that maybe our tone of our voice or maybe the words that we say were not exactly God-like. They weren't Christian-like. And just to share with you exactly the words that were used with Rita, who's just trying to do the right thing the best way she can, and maybe the words didn't come out just right that one time. You know, she was in a Bible study, and what ended up coming out of that situation, and God knows what it was, and I told her, it had to do with some money and things like that, and there were some things said, and it just didn't come out right. Well, this lady said she didn't want to talk to her anymore, didn't want to study with her anymore. She wanted to talk with a real Christian, a real Christian. That doesn't feel very good. You know, we're out there doing the best we can do, and somebody says, well, you're not a real Christian because, you know what, you just didn't say it just right. You know, we all can look back and say, man, I wish I would have said something different. I guarantee you I can name a lot of situations I look back and I wish I would have said something different. You're not alone. You're not alone. You're just with the rest of us. We're all the same. We're all imperfect humans who are not always going to have the perfect words. But Rita wants to share in that because that's really on her heart this morning. And we're going to pray for her, pray for the strength. We're going to pray for strength for every single one of us who get out there and take the Great Commission seriously. We talked about an active faith, didn't we, Nate? Talked about an active faith. Well, that means that we go out and spread the word, go out into all the world and preach the gospel. Well, that's what she's trying to do. And it didn't come out just right. Okay, God, help me the next time to say it right. And if I'm struggling, and we talked about this in the class, and we talk about this in our sermons, please come up so we can all rally around each other. And we'll get it right the next time. Let's pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, again, thank you so much for today. And thankful for all the encouragement that's in this room. And just thankful for all the brothers and sisters that make up the family here at Central Church of Christ. We're thankful for all of our visitors today. And help them to feel welcome and help them to understand that they are our honored guest and help us to act accordingly. And we're just so thankful for all the leadership and guidance and all the trying and all the getting out and actually participating in the sufferings that we're called to do. And we ask you, Heavenly Father, that when we fail in those things,
to forgive us and to strengthen us for the next time and help us to get back up and keep going. Heavenly Father, we ask a specific prayer right now for Rita. She's struggling with what was said to her. She's trying her hardest, and it just didn't go as planned. And you know the genuineness in her heart, and you know the intent in her heart. We know that we make physical sacrifices and spiritual sacrifices every day. And just help us to keep getting back up and keep going and keep that perseverance to keep going when things get tough. Be with all of everyone else in this congregation who did not come forward this morning, who has something on their heart, whether they have become a Christian or whether they have fallen away or whether they just have a need, who just didn't come up this morning. Bless every single one of them too. Bless them with the strength that Rita showed us this morning. Bless us with strength, even though we may be on top of the mountain right now. Bless us with strength to stay there. Bless us with the strength to get back up, and bless us with the strength to admit that we have a pride issue, and help us to always ask for help when we need it. Heavenly Father, be with us as we continue throughout this day. Help us to read, pray, fellowship, and worship you every single day as we should. And help us to be the examples that we're called to be. And help us to always give our all to you. In Christ's name, amen.
As we prepare to receive the Lord's Supper, we'll be singing hymn number 337. 337.
Go and prepare our cups. As you're doing so, Joshua chapter 4, we find the children of Israel have come across the Jordan, and God has commanded Joshua to go back and pick up stones to bring with them across for a memorial. Why stones? Simplicity. God has always used the simple things to illustrate the importance of serving him. And that memorial served a purpose then, which was to show the children and cause them to ask, what do these stones mean to you? Today we're about to partake of a memorial not much unlike that, of simplicity, bread and juice. But the memorial, the question is, what does it mean to you? What does this bread represent? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all the many things that you do, and thank you most of all for this sacrifice of your Son. Thank you, Father, for this bread that represents his body that was broken freely and given upon the cross of Calvary. As we begin to partake of it, we ask, Father, that we examine ourselves and we partake of it in a manner worthy to you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's go to our Father again in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you again, preparing to partake of this fruit of the vine, this grape juice that represents your Son's blood that he gave freely to wash away our sins. Father, we ask that as we partake of it, we fix our minds solely on you. We take this time set apart from everything else, the reason we come together. Father, we take this time to remember that memorial, to proclaim the Lord's death that he gave till he comes again. It's in Christ's name. Amen. Separate and aside from communion, from partaking of the Lord's Supper, we now set aside this time to take up the offering. As we do so, understand we are stewards of what God has given us, both our physical blessings and our time blessings and so on and so forth. We have to be wise in how we use all of it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you now, separate and aside from the Lord's Supper, we come now to give back a portion of what you have so richly blessed us with. Both monetary blessings, our time, etc. Father, we ask as we leave today, we continue to be good stewards of what you've given to us. Father, forgive us when we fall short, and let us do right and walk in your ways. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Would you bow with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for loving us despite our stumbles and failings. Lord, just help us to do things in the right direction and as you would have us to do. Sometimes we struggle to understand the world around us and how complex it can be. Just help comfort us with the knowledge and the peace that you are still in control. Please help us to rest in you and trust in your timing and wisdom. We humbly request that you comfort those that are hurting, and we thank you this morning for the example that Rita has set by coming forward and just being honest. In Jesus' name, amen. There are